Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman. On today's episode of the CPH podcast, we're joined by Eden Keefe. Eden is the president of Lutheran Women in Mission, or LWML. She's going to share with us what it looks like to be a woman on mission for Christ. Before we start our conversation with Eden, I'd like to thank our friends at the LCMS Foundation for their support of the podcast. How can your congregation turn significant financial gifts into a long-term funding source that blesses your church for generations to come? The LCMS Foundation was created to do just that. They've provided professional investment services to LCMS churches, schools, and RSOs. They've helped these congregations create, manage, and grow endowments using investments tailored to each congregation's unique goals and needs. And now they'd like to help yours. Visit lcmsfoundation.org/podcast to learn more. Now into our conversation with Eden Keefe. Welcome, Eden, to the CPH podcast.
Thank you.
It is really nice to have you here. It's been a big few months for you, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's been a bit of a whirlwind since the end of June.
Have you had a chance to breathe and to just sit back and take it all in?
Not unless it was like in the car or something. I haven't really had too much time, but you know, I still take time with family and to do things and church and that kind of thing. But yeah, it hasn't always really sunk in yet, being elected.
Well, as the new president of Lutheran Women in Mission, LWML, it has been a big few months from you. Every 4 years, the president changes. Yeah. We've spoken in the past with President Debbie and enjoyed chatting with her. And we're looking forward to watching LWML under your leadership these next 4 years. My guess, how long have you been involved with LWML?
Oh, golly. Well, it started when I was young, because my mom and grandmas were involved with Ladies mm-hmm. Aid and LWML. And my sister and I kind of got voluntold to help with different things along the way. But it wasn't until after I was married and had moved up to the Kansas City area that a friend from home actually had moved up also. And we decided to join a circle at her church together. And that's when it really became my LWML, and I got involved in lots of different ways. You know, one thing just kind of leads to the next, and it's a beautiful ripple effect, and that was probably in the late 80s, mid to late 80s.
Okay. So do you have a favorite memory from those early days? I'm sure there are going to be a lot of highlights for you over the years, but as you think back to your early days in your LWML, is there a memory that sticks out for you?
Gosh, I think honestly, when we were also part of a mission church here in Olathe, Kansas, and when it became, when we decided to have our own group and started to get involved, and the National Convention was here in 95, I think it was, and we had like 12 to 14 women who showed an interest just in volunteering and helping at that convention. And we got to see the big picture from a volunteer standpoint anyway. And that kind of launched it for us at Beautiful Savior then too. So that was probably a highlight.
It sounds like it would be a neat highlight to see that coming together. And then in recent memory, I would think that your election will definitely go down in the history books as a highlight. How did that feel? I know I've got a few questions related to all of that, but it's always neat from sitting where I sit to see a friend and see someone who I admire stepping into that role. I think it's going to be exciting. But how did you feel? Were you just completely floored?
It doesn't quite seem real. And you may be aware that really the 6 months prior to convention, Shark Raymer and I did a lot of collaborating and visiting, sometimes on a weekly basis, where we would just, you know, pray together and work together on some of the pre-convention preparations we had to do. And that added a whole nother level of peace, in all honesty, and joy. And it was just... it was just a moment where it didn't matter. Who won? It really didn't matter. We were just waiting for God to kind of guide next steps for us individually and for Lutheran Women in Mission, and to be able to be sitting next to each other during that was a blessing. And having my family, having quite a few members of my family there was a blessing. So, highlights.
Well, that was going to be my question, because I had heard that you and Char did spend that time together, and I thought that was such a beautiful example of, you know, two leaders who are being put up for the same role, like working together for the good of the organization in just such a beautiful way. I think it's just, it's an example that a lot of organizations could learn from.
The collaboration, you know, being able, and you weren't by, I wasn't by myself. She wasn't by herself in kind of going through all the emotions. And there are a lot of emotions that go on, like on a daily basis. But you don't have to go through it alone. And I think it solidified for me personally how important that collaboration is then going forward. Don't lose that, because we saw what a blessing it was. Don't lose that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a great lesson. What is something many of us have grown up hearing about Lutheran Women in Mission, LWML, and I can remember Our Lady's Aid, and you didn't mess with the kitchen that the Ladies' Aid were in control of. What's something that many people may not know about the LWML that could surprise them?
Well, maybe if you're talking about some, maybe a casual observer, they may not be aware of the reach, I would say, of LWML. And that's one thing when you go to a district convention or a national convention and you see that parade of flags where the nations that have been touched with mission grants in the past, you don't understand the scope of gospel work, I think, that happens through just those, you know, mite, what we call mite box offerings or mite donations. They are indeed mighty mites. And together, God can use us for great things. So I think people would be maybe surprised at the scope of work that LWML does, the reach that we have for the gospel, and maybe just how we can use our gifts through the organization.
Now the mites are mighty, and it's just, and at convention, a new slate of mission grants were approved. Are there any highlights from that list that I know they're all special and they're all doing wonderful things? Are there one or two that you'd like to highlight for our listeners?
Oh, you know, I think we all have our favorites, and I've always thought when I didn't have a vote this year, but when I've been a voting member, it's been always so hard to just like pick eight. That's normally kind of that around that figure that we can vote for. And it's so hard to narrow it to something like that. I mean, there's usually a few favorites, yes, but then you just look at that, all those opportunities. And I love the variety, actually, is probably was a highlight that we have stateside, I think 13, that there were four for Lutheran schools in the U.S., that there were eight, I think, abroad, and then some that work both domestically and globally. There are LCMS ministries, there's Concordia Seminary. Those we just touch in so many different places.
No, and it's exciting to see how that happens and the reach. And I know you have resources on your website where people can learn more about each of the grants. So I'd encourage our listeners to take a look at that and see how you might be interested and able to support. Coming out of convention, which is always a mountaintop experience, it's wonderful for us on the CPH team to be there and to talk with all the women attending. And just, it is so joy-filled, and the enthusiasm for, you know, sharing the gospel and learning more about our faith is palpable and it's exciting. What, coming out of that, what excites you about the next biennium?
Keeping that momentum going. but as we start this next biennium, in August we met and prayerfully worked through the list of women who filled out a form that they were interested in serving on a national committee, and filled our committees, made our calls, got our answers, and we'll be coming in October to train and let them plan in their committees their work for the biennium. And it's wonderful. I think this year you're going to see some shift in some of our committees where we're working on how to better network, not just a top-down communication, but how do we get ideas coming from the local groups and congregations up to national through the district. Mm-hmm. Because in 2022, we celebrated 80 years. And as part of that, we kind of did what's your 80, you know, a way to sort of observe that in our districts. And they had, there were amazing ideas and service projects and things that people did individually to observe that. And we thought we need to continue to utilize all that creativity that we see on the local mm-hmm. level and network that across the districts and then, you know, up to national, back down. So we're really working on how can we better support districts in their communication, so kind of through technology support, but also how do we continue to just kind of that relationship and that connection with people down in the districts and the local levels, because there's a lot of wonderful creative women out there that are working for the Lord.
Well, continuing that idea of things that are happening at the local level, how can our listeners get involved locally? And then part two of that is, if they don't have an active chapter in at their church or in their area, how what are some options for them to get involved? Nice mug.
Those are great questions. The first one, how do you get involved locally? If your church congregation has a Lutheran Women in Mission LWML group, normally there are times that they meet. It might be that they sponsor Bible study, women's Bible study. It might be that they meet for kind of like business meetings to plan events at church. It might be that they meet to coordinate mission projects locally, you know. And then besides a local level, then there's also what we call the zone, and that's where congregations that are sort of in an area, a region, would get together. Maybe that's a couple times a year. Maybe your district has a retreat. So there are lots of different ways to get involved, whether it's just something you want to do, an event, or help with a donation for something locally at your congregation, whether you want to kind of get involved in planning some things on your congregation for LWML events. Or if you don't have an active group there are other things that happen in your region and within your district that you can get involved with. I've had both experiences. I've been in congregations that have active LWML groups, and then when I lived in South Carolina, when we first moved there, we were blessed with an LCMS church in Aiken, South Carolina. Did not have, though, an quote-unquote LWML group. Had a very mission-minded group, and I just was able to bring kind of visibility. I you know, could share the quarterly and talk about LWML, and we had the mite box, and we just talked about what, you know, the mission grants were and brought that to them. And so there was involvement there. And then, you know, I'm going to the retreat. Anybody want to go with me in that way? So there are ways to be involved. I was, at that time, an individual member in the district, and that allowed me to serve on a district level as well, which was a really great way to get to know the women of the district. In that case, it was the Carolinas.
And there are a lot of ways. And so if someone is in a scenario, as you were in South Carolina, where there's not that chapter, I would say probably start with your website. And I think if you click around and find your district and connect there. And
yeah. That's a great one to just, you know, the About Us, because yes, mm-hmm. all the district websites are listed there. And then usually district websites have ways to make connects as far as that goes. And it might be that you just kind of want to be a networker for your, mm-hmm. and in your congregation too, and getting the word out. Lots of neat, I've known groups that are, I'll call them non-traditional, in that they're online. They meet mm-hmm. online, or they form a group from a number of different congregations. A couple examples, my daughter did that here in the Kansas City area because they were really looking for a group of young women. They wanted to kind of expand LWML, but do it in a way that was more in their age range, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. And so they pulled from a few, they put out invitations to area congregations and said, would you like to get together? And that was specifically initially kind of for fellowship and Bible study. They tended to do kind of the mission work part of it and supporting the mission grants in their own congregations, but they got together for the fellowship and Bible study. I've also known another few congregations in rural Kansas who on their own don't have a lot of numbers, but they are getting together, and they just within a relatively small geographic area, but they get together and meet together even though they're not all from one congregation. So there are ways.
There are ways.
Creative, flexible ways.
Well, and technology certainly helps with that. We're coming up on the point, about the time that this episode is released, will be right around the time of LWML Sunday. Tell us about this year's theme, and some of our listeners may not realize you don't have to celebrate LWML Sunday on October 6th. You can do it anytime, but tell us a little bit about this year's theme and how LWML Sunday can help keep that momentum going in the local congregation.
And you're right. Excuse me. LWML Sunday can be done any time in the year. We tend to focus on October, and that's when the resources and stuff come out in preparation for that. This year's theme is The King is Coming, and Dr. Roosevelt Gray is the one who wrote the sermon for this year's theme. It's based on Psalm 24, and I think it's so timely because he sets it within that psalm of, you know, even when things around us are difficult, we have the King and he is coming. We have his promises and we can rejoice in that. So I think it will be a joyful time. The resources are really tailored so you can use it however your pastor and your congregation would like to do. So there's everything from bulletin, pre-printed bulletin covers, to things you can download and print, litanies, the sermon. You can certainly get LWML mission grant bookmarks that show the new national, the 31 new national mission grants on it. Those mite boxes, which is, you know, started in the 40s, is just a way to put the coins in to start to support mission grants. And while our methods maybe of donating have changed over the years, that symbol of that mite box remains very much a part of LWML because it just shows what impact an individual can have for the gospel when we join together for a common goal. And so LWML Sunday could just be the whole package. It could be you just have ask your gals to maybe to wear purple, which is one of our big colors, signature colors, and be additional greeters and hand out resources or have a display, or you just choose. It's a way to be a little bit more visible in the congregation. It gives us a good excuse.
Absolutely. It's a good time to celebrate. Yeah. One of the things that I've admire about you is you're very good at sharing encouragement and the word through your social media. Tell us about your personal devotion time and how you're able to find that time to keep your eyes on the main thing throughout your day. And what does that look like?
Back when I'm a storyteller, as you've probably noticed. So I'm going to go back just a little bit and tell you when I served as the vice president of Christian Life under then President Kay Kricklow. And our board, at that time we called the executive committee, were challenged to really continue to keep that morning devotion, that time in scripture or whatever we were doing for our personal spiritual faith first. Make it a priority. Don't let it get lost. And I had to physically, and when I did have a laptop, close my laptop at night and put my devotion book on top of it so that I would remember that it goes first. And so that sometimes has been very helpful, just that visual reminder. Because I am a visual person, and then I'm going to go into that. I do use my portals of prayer.
Look at that.
And back in about 2015, we were living in Aiken. The portals of prayer was really by the coffee maker because my husband worked and he left early in the morning, like 5:30 out the door. So it was there by the coffee maker. When he brewed the coffee, he would, you know, read through the devotion and leave it there for when I would straggle in later, much later, to do the morning thing. But I realized it was becoming kind of rote for me. I would faithfully read through it. I could think about it, you know, close with prayer, walk out the room to go, you know, let the dog out or something, come back in. And I could not have told you what it was about. And I thought, there's got to be a way. How do I make it so that I not only read and reflect on it, but I make it applicable to me personally today? And at that time, I also happened to meet Connie Denninger. Her husband was the president of the Southeast District. And she introduced me to some visual faith resources and tools. And so I started with a blank calendar template. And my challenge for myself was to, after reading through the devotion and the prayer, that I would just jot down a takeaway. What was God? How was he speaking to me through the words and through the devotion narrative? What was my takeaway for that day? And to record it on that square, that day square on the calendar. And sometimes a word picture or an image would come to mind and I'd try to sketch that out. So a lot of times it was just a word or three words or something like that. But the wonderful thing for me that happened is when I had that pen in my hand and I actually put it to paper, then I could remember throughout the day whether I was looking at it or not. And then the next day when I came and did it, I had yesterday's right there in front of me. And as you go through the month, you look and you see God's faithfulness all the way through the month. And you have that captured in your handwriting on the paper. And sometimes it's out for other family members to see too, which is kind of nice when my grandsons come over that they can see I'm engaged in God's mm-hmm. word. Yeah. So that is something I have faithfully stuck with since 2015. And sometimes I've used color with it. Right now, it is black and white. It looks like this.
There you go.
And on the following pages, there's a blessing page for every day and a prayer list page. So that just keeps it all together for me. I like a lot of other things too, but.
Well, that putting pen to paper definitely helps. I try to tell my youngest this when he's working on his memory work, go write it down. Well, that won't help. Like, actually it will.
Yeah.
You may not think so now, but it will actually help. And so that's a neat way to help get it imprinted in your heart and your mind. So it's as you share this, and it's neat how you share it to encourage others, what's some of the encouragement that you've received in your years as you've been serving LWML?
You know, when I talked at the beginning about kind of that ripple effect as you get involved in one way, and then maybe you attend something in your region, your zone, or you go to your district retreat, or you go to a national convention, and that circle keeps widening. You reconnect with people, you build friendships, and I have found that women are very willing to mentor and encourage you in the faith. I think on a local level, having a women's Bible study group where I've been has been tremendously supportive for me in my faith journey. And then, you know, I'm amazed at how many now I've been able to interact with on social media through Facebook and Instagram that I have not come across necessarily in a personal way at an event, but we have found likeness and relationship, and there's been a lot. Something will come in the mail, you know, from somebody that I maybe haven't met yet. And those are all, I think women do a really good job of nurturing relationships, and they've been real blessings. But I will also say that there are pastors out there that have that gift as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we all need that support and that encouragement. So it's a good practice to be in. Yeah. What would you tell young girls today about what it means to be a woman in mission at whatever age and stage you are in your life?
That there's a joy in it. When you serve, but in a way that puts Christ as a focus, not just serving people, but serving them with the gospel, that makes a difference not just now, but potentially for eternity, because he can use us in that way. When you can serve alongside with somebody, collaborate, have fun with, you know, whether it's you go with somebody in the car and you just have that those conversations in the car, or you go and you work an event together. Again, that relationship, it's not just the relationship with you and Christ, but it's your relationship with one another. And I think as Lutheran Women in Mission, we do that well, and we find a joy in doing it. So I know there are times that we've gone and tried something and it might have been frustrating because logistically there were issues, right? But you still had laughter, and we worked together to problem solve, and we maybe had to go and pull in some other people to help or whatever. But it was still a joyful time of service. And I would say, don't let whatever preconceived notions you might have about LWML stop you from at least experiencing it or finding a way to serve, because I think it will be a joy.
Absolutely. So as we start to wrap up, what is a way, how can our listeners pray for you and for Lutheran Women in Mission?
Well, that's a very thoughtful question. Thank you. I'm going to answer that two ways. I will talk about kind of a personal. I think, though, for me as president and the organization, that a prayer that we would always remain focused on Christ and on our mission statement, because I mentioned we've recognized that we've had 80 years of legacy work supporting missions and our mission partners, our church workers as we've gone along serving through mission service projects, kind of hands-on kinds of things, and being gospel focused. Whether that's Bible study or through, you know, the mission work. As we look to the next 80 years, I want us to find creative and flexible ways for women to be Lutheran Women in Mission and to engage the women of the LCMS to be Lutheran Women in Mission. So that could be part of the prayer. But that we do it in a way that as Lutheran Women in Mission, we joyfully proclaim Christ, support missions, and equip women to honor God by serving others. I think we just stay true to that and keep our focus on Christ. So that would be my prayer for the organization. Personally, very aware of the gift of health, whether that's mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. And so for that's probably be my prayer request would be that I remain, you know, with the gift of health in all those ways.
Well, listeners, there, you've heard it direct from President Eden. And I would encourage you to keep LWML in your prayers as they continue their good work of supporting missions and helping spread the good news throughout the world through their daily efforts and through their mission grants and everything that they do. We'll link to your website in the show notes so that listeners can go and dig in and learn more about the mission grants, learn more about LWML Sunday and all that, and I encourage you to check it out. President Eden, thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to the next 4 years under your leadership of Lutheran Women in Mission.
Well, I look forward to collaborating with you and CPH, because you know I love, love, love using your Bible studies as well in our groups and the authors and the relationship that we have with them and with you. It's just amazing. So thank you very much.
Well, and thank you for being a champion for our authors and for our studies. It's great to see how you're able to gin up enthusiasm for those studies and help spread the word. So we appreciate it very much. President Eden, thank you so much. And listeners, till next time. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.